My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
You know, I feel like I've been reading over the past few years about all these ways that airlines are trying to save money. I mean, it feels like every month you'll see some new way that they're trying to save a few bucks.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about this last week, and it's so weird how much the industry has changed. Like, if you look at those ads from the 50s, Pan Am and whoever used to serve these big meals with steaks, and they'd have pianos on board, and they'd have these, like, free-flowing cocktails, and every ad was about luxury and people having a party, and now it's definitely not a party.
No, certainly not with a piano. Were there really pianos on board some of these planes?
Yeah, definitely.
That's unbelievable. Well, I was reading about some others, and one of the most legendary cost-cutting measures came with salads. At least it's legendary in the business world if you're looking at various case studies. And this guy, Robert Crandall, he was the head of American Airlines in the 1980s. He was looking for different ways to cut expenses. So he thought, what if I remove just one olive from every dinner salad I serve my passengers? He was thinking, you know, would anybody even notice this? And so hoping they wouldn't, he made the change and the effect rippled out. And it wouldn't seem like they would save this much money from it, but American Airlines saved $40,000 from making one little change. And in today's money, that's actually about $100,000. And it kind of makes you wonder, though, why didn't he just take away two olives?
Because obviously, like, taking away two olives would have started a riot.
You're probably right.
Instead, they just took away our leg room.
That's a good point. Well, May is National Salad Month. So for today's nine things, we're digging into a whole bowl full of weird and funny salad facts. So let's dive in. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hattikader. And sitting behind the soundproof glass, wearing a t-shirt that says, "You don't make friends with salad," that's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. I like how he was hiding it at first, and then he took off the hoodie to reveal the big surprise.
You know, I love that joke so much, and it's obviously like a Simpsons gag. If you're a Simpsons fan, you know that. But I was reading about that, and there's this episode where, you know, Lisa asks Homer, like, why don't you offer some non-meat options at a party? And Homer says, you don't make friends with salad. And then Bart goes, you don't make friends with salad. You don't make friends with salad. And they make this conga line, and they just go endlessly. They go, like, through the room. They go out of the room. They come back into the room. And then it just goes on forever.
Just, like, never stops.
And I was actually reading about that gag online, and I saw the writers say they were trying to create a joke that was funny and then went on for so long it became annoying and not funny, and then long enough that it went back to being funny again.
It's so true. Great. It kind of does accomplish that. And yeah. Now it's made its way to Tristan's shirt. Well, as we mentioned earlier on the show, May is National Salad Month. And oddly, I don't know who declared it National Salad Month. It's referenced everywhere from Smithsonian to cooking magazines, but it is kind of hard to pinpoint the creator.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. And I think maybe the association for dressings and sauces might be responsible. I mean, you know you're going to sell more dressing if everyone's eating salad. But what's stranger to me is that it's also National Hoagie Day this month. It's May 5th. And it's almost like the hoagie makers looked at the calendar and thought, you know, people are going to need a cheat day.
So Cinco de Mayo is the same as National Hoagie Day.
Yeah, I guess
that's pretty big. Wow, who knew? Well, it's kind of weird they didn't try to grab their own hoagie month. I feel like hoagies are worthy of an entire month. But all right, well, I kicked off today's 9 things with how sacrificing just one olive can save your business. So what's your first salad fact of the day?
How about a fact about McDonald's? So I'm actually guessing most people aren't flocking to McDonald's for their salads, but according to CNBC, Mickey D's Kale Caesar isn't exactly a healthy option. And while the ads say keep calm Caesar on and talk up the nutrient-rich lettuce blends of baby kale, the numbers actually tell a different story. So the salads are 730 calories and 1,400 milligrams of salt with each one. And that's actually slightly worse than a double Big Mac, which has just 680 calories and 1,300 milligrams of salt.
Wait, so you're saying of the two of those, the double Big Mac is the healthy option?
Yeah, it's also the vegetarian option.
right.
No, I mean, I think not going to McDonald's is the healthy option. But it reminds me of that story in Paris, I Love You, But You Bring Me Down, which is this really wonderful memoir. But the author's in shock at how Parisians eat McDonald's for lunch because they eat it in a typically French way. They actually start with like a chicken nugget course, then they'll have like a Big Mac or two Big Macs, and then they'll follow it with a salad course, and then they'll finish with a coffee and possibly dessert. And
gosh.
I know the average meal at a French McDonald's is supposed to be like twice or thrice the cost of what it is here.
That is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to think how different the McDonald's Kale Caesar is from the original Caesar salad, which was invented by Cesare Cardini. Now, I read this account from Julia Child where she talked about the experience of ordering the salad at Cardini's restaurant. Actually, I'm just going to read the quote from it. It says, "One of my early remembrances of restaurant life was going to Tijuana in 1925 or 1926 with my parents, who were wildly excited that they should finally lunch at Caesar's restaurant. Tijuana, just south of the Mexican border from San Diego, was flourishing then, in the Prohibition era, of course. Word spread about Tijuana and the good life, and about Cesare Cardini's restaurant, and about Caesar's salads. My parents, of course, ordered the salad. Caesar himself rolled the big card up to the table, tossed the romaine in a great wooden bowl, and I wish I could say I remembered his every move, but I don't. The only thing I see again clearly is the eggs. I can see him break two eggs over that romaine and roll them in, the greens going all creamy as the eggs float over them. Two eggs in a salad? 2 1-minute coddled eggs? And garlic-flavored croutons and grated Parmesan cheese? It was a sensation of a salad from coast to coast. And there were even rumblings of its success in Europe."
That's really awesome. It's so awesome to think of like a young Julia Child with her parents just being floored by this production.
Yeah. And it's like how chefs at a fancy Mexican restaurant make tableside guacamole for you. It almost makes you want to order a salad.
Yeah, that's true. So here's a story I read in Atlas Obscura's new site. It's called Gastro Obscura, and it's all food related and it's really good. But they mentioned this Burmese salad, which sounds amazing to me. It's called a lapé tau. And it's made from fermented tea leaves along with raw cabbage, lime, finely sliced garlic, green chili, fresh tomatoes, sesame seeds, and peanuts. And I think it has some other spices in there too. But the description from a New York Times reviewer is that it's deeply savory and strangely addictive. Mm. So, you know, already that has me. And I do love Burmese food. But the key here is the tea leaves. And I'm curious if Starbucks will actually start serving these as morning salads or if people will trade out their breakfast cereal routines for them, because the tea actually makes the salad highly caffeinated. And in fact, that same Times reviewer has said that the leaves contain, quote, enough caffeine to twang the nerves like a harp. It actually kind of feels like a salad for like adrenaline junkies or Wall Street execs or something.
It does sound like a weird salad, but actually caffeinated salad, while it may sound like a novelty, we've actually been making them stateside here for a while.
Really? I haven't heard of those.
Well, this came out of my research and looking up some of those gross and amazing Jell-O salads. You know, people used to bring these to, like, church potlucks and dinners, stuff like that.
I follow a Twitter account that has tons of these, and I just love seeing pictures of, like, hard-boiled eggs and olives and tuna fish and, like, celery Jell-Os. It's just so good.
It is amazing, but also disgusting at the same time. But, I mean, there are tons of those 1950s recipes, but one I'd never heard of is called Coke Salad. And this comes from Mental Floss, and apparently it's the crown jewel of Jell-O salad recipes. Basically, a Coke salad is a fizzy Jell-O fruit salad that's made with a mix of cherries, pineapple juice, and Coke, all cooked up with flavored gelatin. And if you're up for the Midwestern variation, just add some dollops of cream cheese on the top. That is disgusting.
Slash awesome.
Yeah.
It's almost weird that you're allowed to call it a salad. It feels like you shouldn't be, but
yeah, because it's not.
So here's something I hadn't read before, and that comes from that incredible quiz show QI, and it's the perfect come down after you're done doing some Coke salad, I guess. But it's wild lettuce or something that's called Lactuca cereola. And the plant, which was also known as prickly lettuce, was apparently grown for medicinal purposes. And partially, it has this, like, milk sap that has these sleep-inducing properties. I'd never heard of this before. But the Romans would eat a salad course at the end of dinner with this lettuce and, you know, kind of the way the French do. But this was specifically as a sleep aid, and that way you could rest and digest. And apparently over the years, both the bitter tastes of the wild lettuce and also those sleep-inducing qualities were bred out of the lettuce. But this wasn't before Peter Rabbit got involved. So I haven't read the original Peter Rabbit tales in a while, but in the early 1900s, it's from feasting on so much sleep-inducing lettuce that Mopsy and Flopsy and the whole lot of them all got caught by Farmer McGregor and just narrowly escaped getting put in a pie.
I remember this, yeah.
But I really hope someone brings back this sleep-inducing lettuce just because I'd love to see people after, like, a long night of drinking and partying and just wanting to go to sleep, reaching into the back of their fridges and just taking a bite out of a head of lettuce. Like, I feel like that would be just such a great scene.
Well, hopefully that dream will come true one day. But all right, well, here's a quick fact I think is pretty fun. Did you know you can actually buy a fruit salad tree?
So I don't know what that means.
Well, they're basically the same as when you can't choose a breakfast cereal, so you get that variety pack. Nurseries sell these young saplings with different fruits grafted onto one tree. So you can get a stone fruit salad tree, for example, and you'll get peaches, plums, nectarines, apricots, or peachcots on there. You can get another one that's called a citrus tree that has limes and lemons, tangelos, oranges, grapefruit, and mandarins, all growing on the single tree. It's pretty crazy.
That's amazing. So I'd heard of people, like, grafting trees like that together over time, but the fact that you could buy them as saplings, you know, or small fruit salad trees, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you can actually do this with apple trees as well. So you get all sorts of apples all growing on one tree. And It's both actually really pretty to look at, but fun that you can make these little peach and plum fruit salads without having to walk, you know, all the way over to another tree. It just kind of saves some time.
Second location.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you listening, don't go anywhere because we've got a few more salad facts for you. But first, a quick break.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh,
Hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius. We're talking salads in honor of National Salad Month.
So I feel like every time you say the word salad, I just think of how Edith Zimmerman at the Hairpin found all those stock photos of women laughing alone eating salad. And I don't know how she picked up on the trend, but it is so absurd. And once you notice, you really can't stop seeing photos of women just like laughing, eating alone, eating their salad. It's really amazing.
It's a little bizarre. All right, so what's your last fact of the day going to be?
So I think I'm going to talk about a study out of Iowa State that's kind of terrific. And this took place in 2013, so it's a few years old now, but it was conducted at a YMCA camp. And basically, instead of telling kids what to eat, the researchers used this digital screen to show an image of a bright, fresh salad, and then they just have it rotate on the screen. And there was a salad bar in the cafeteria, but there were also plenty of other camp options, you know, hot dogs and sloppy joes and tacos. But these kids started serving themselves more salad after seeing this digital version. And in fact, the scientists were surprised to see that the digital display had the most effect on hungry boys. They actually served themselves 50% to 70% more salad when they encountered the display.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. I'm curious, though, does it matter if the image is digital? Does it have to be digital, or would, like, a paper ad work just as well?
Yeah, I wondered the same thing, and apparently it has to be digital. The scientists tried paper and static versions, but as the salads got more and more realistic looking, and as the scientists added motion for some reason, that's when the hungry kids really took the bait. Mm. And, of course, after seeing the results of that study, Burger King immediately adopted the technology into their billboards and ads and got people to eat Whoppers.
Well, that's a pretty good fact. And it's amazing you can convince hungry kids to eat salads over tacos, but I think you're going to like this last fact, Mango. Have you ever heard of cucumber straighteners?
So this sounds like a fake product or some sort of a get-rich scheme.
Well, I thought that too, but they actually are a real thing. So cucumbers, or cowcumbers as they were originally called, they used to be super wayward and curvy, but that made them hard to slice up for sandwiches. Huh. And that really annoyed this guy named George Stevenson. So Stevenson is also the inventor of a number of things, like a miner's lamp. He also built the first railway to use steam engines, and he was very irritated by these curvy cucumbers. So he decided to invent this cucumber straightener. And it's basically just this kind of this phallic-looking glass tube that you put over the cucumber so it grows contained within the shape of the tube. And people went crazy for these things. You can find all these ads and Victorian publications for these cucumber straighteners. And there's actually one from James Phillips and Company where the ad just says, cucumber glasses, made to any length. 12 inches, 16 inches, 20 inches, 24 inches.
Those are a lot of inches.
It gives you so many different options. But what's funny is that they're not exactly outdated either. And apparently Disney makes cucumber straighteners that shape the veggies so that when they cut a cucumber for their salads, every slice comes out Mickey-shaped.
That's pretty wonderful. And I do love that George Stephenson has all these, like, important inventions, mm-hmm. but then he really should be remembered for this cucumber straightener.
Oh, it's definitely the biggest one, yeah.
Well, I think you do take the trophy with that fact.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.